Thank you, Nikki, for sharing. Always encouraging to hear how the Lord is at work in us and through us. And so praise the Lord for God's work in and through Nikki. So thank you for sharing that with us. I don't know how it's been for you during the lockdown. As far as keeping up with time, I will confess that there are many days where I don't know what day of the week it is. And so our week is traditionally quite organized and quite structured. And so we have something on Monday night, and we have something on Wednesday night, and we have something on Friday morning, and so on and so forth all through the week. And so with a lot of those things kind of on pause, there are some days where I'm not exactly sure if it's like Tuesday or Thursday. Are we still in April? No, it can't be May. And so I don't know if your experience has been similar to mine in that. And I'll confess that sometimes I can be that way with the things of God. That sometimes I just kind of lose track, or I kind of forget things. And I'll give you a recent example, and that's Easter. I don't know for you, but for me, it feels like Easter was maybe 6 months ago. It feels like Easter was a really long time ago, and so it's hard to believe it was just 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's hard to remember that actually this weekend was our church weekend away, that right now we were supposed to be in Wales gathered together. And so it's funny how we can lose track of time in that way. And when we come to our passage this morning, as we're coming to the very end of our time in the Gospel of John, we only have this week and next week, and we'll be done with the Gospel of John. I want us to spend a few moments revisiting the resurrection. Because if you're like me, if I'm not careful, Easter, I can be so excited, and Passion Week and all of the things that go along with that. And Easter morning is an amazing time to celebrate and to worship the Lord. But then I just kind of put it behind me, a bit like Christmas, and I move along, and maybe even more so in the midst of the odd times that we find ourselves. And so I want us to be reminded today in our passage of Scripture that the resurrection is not just a momentary event in time, which it was, but it's more than just a moment in time, and it's also more than just our entrance way into heaven, if you will. But the resurrection is something that has relevance to our life every single day. The resurrection is something that can make an impact in our family, in our work, in our school each and every day. And so I guess the idea is this. We just celebrated Easter. We had an amazing time worshiping the Lord and celebrating the resurrection. But you know what? I have to go to work Monday, or I'm now having to do school at home with my kids. And actually, what does the resurrection have to do with my everyday life? And what we're going to see in our passage in John chapter 21 is that the resurrection is extremely relevant to the everyday of life. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 21. And we're going to spend just a few moments looking at Jesus is alive and what is the relevance of the resurrection. So John chapter 21, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, just to set the scene, if you've been with us, of course, Jesus has been crucified. He has physically resurrected from the dead. He's back to life. He's visited with the disciples twice now. We saw last week, particularly his ministry to Thomas in the midst of Thomas doubting and his fear. And now we see Jesus appearing to the disciples for a third time, and this will be his final appearance to the disciples before he returns to the Father. And so we are in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And the Bible says this: "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Now it happened this way," or this is the way it took place. "Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together." So you have seven of the 11 disciples. Seven of the disciples are there. He says, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go out with you." So they went out and got into a boat. But that night they caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And Jesus called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And Jesus said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," I love this, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on the fire and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. And it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." But none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true, that this really happened. We thank you, Jesus, that your word has the power by your Spirit to change us and transform us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, in these next few moments as we look at your word, that you would give us understanding. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in our minds that we can understand the word. Holy Spirit, we pray and humbly ask that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would soften our hearts, give us teachable spirits, that we might be changed and transformed by your word. We pray that you would speak to us for your glory and for our good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples, with this amazing encounter with Jesus. And Jesus is going to remind them and remind you and I of the relevance of his resurrection in the everyday of life. And what does it mean for you and I to know Jesus, to know the power, Paul would say, of his resurrection? So we're just going to see four simple truths together this morning. Number one, we see this, that knowing Jesus is alive means he will find his servants. Knowing that Jesus is alive means that he will find his servants. Look at your Bible and look what he says there. It says, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee." That Jesus appears to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And then he says it in verse 4, that early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Look what has happened. Jesus has been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared to the disciples twice, but he has not stayed with them. He'll make an appearance. He'll teach them. He'll love on them. He'll fellowship with them. And then Jesus will slip away again. And so Jesus has again slipped away, and they're not exactly sure where Jesus has went. And so if you'll notice then, the seven disciples decide, following the leadership of Peter, to go back to what they used to do, which is fishing. Now, different scholars kind of have different views on this. Some say that this was wrong, that the disciples were kind of falling back, that they were leaving the mission of Jesus and going back to their own life. Others say, well, no, they weren't doing anything wrong. In fact, they were probably hungry. They needed food, and so they were doing something good. They were going out and working for their food. The Bible really doesn't say what the motivation of Peter's heart was. It just says that Peter said, "I'm going out to fish," and they went with him. Here's what we know for certain. It seemed as if they weren't exactly sure what to do. They had returned to Galilee, which was their hometown. They've went home, and now they've just decided to go and fish. It seems that they lacked a bit of direction. And in the midst of this, look who shows up again, but Jesus. And because Jesus is alive, he finds his disciples. Now notice it doesn't say they went looking for Jesus. It doesn't say that Peter said, well, I'm going to find Jesus. He's appeared to us twice. He's got to be here somewhere. Let's go and let's go to the temple. Maybe he's at the temple. Or let's go to the synagogue. Maybe he's at the synagogue. Or let's go to Mary and Martha's. Maybe he's at their home. Notice the disciples don't go looking for Jesus, but don't miss this. Jesus comes looking for them. And I love that. That even when they're not looking for Jesus, Jesus comes looking for them. Because Jesus is alive means that he will find his servants. I love where John has shared with us about the Good Shepherd. And in the picture of the Good Shepherd, Jesus says that a good shepherd, if he has 100 sheep and 99 of them are in the pen, but one has got away, Jesus says the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one lost sheep. Don't you love that? He doesn't wait for the lost sheep to come find him. The shepherd goes and finds the lost sheep. And because Jesus is alive, he comes and finds us. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus, watch this. Jesus was looking for you before you ever were looking for him. Jesus was looking for you before you were ever looking for him. The Bible says, before we loved him, that Jesus first loved us. Before we loved him, he loved us. When I was out living in the world, living for myself, when I cared nothing about God, when I cared nothing about the things of God, when I only used the name of God as a curse word, when I cared nothing about Jesus, when I thought that Christianity was silliness, when I thought the church was outdated and old-fashioned, when I was in the midst of that mindset and that worldview, Jesus came looking for me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came looking for me. And he's been doing it since day one. He's been looking for the prostitute. He's been looking for the liar, for the thief. He was looking for Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus ever climbed the tree. He says, because Jesus is alive, it means he will find his people. And in fact, he tells the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. You're going to go and help me find more people. If you love Jesus this morning, boy, just stop and just thank him that before you were ever looking for him, he found you. Just stop and maybe just say, Jesus, I just want to acknowledge that I didn't come looking for you, but Jesus, you came looking for me. And any desire that we ever have to find him, he places the desire in us. And so Jesus, thank you that you came looking for me. And maybe you're watching this morning and you don't know Jesus. You don't love Jesus, but you're just curious. Maybe you realize there's something broken in your life and you're just looking for hope. You're looking for answers. Can I just say that it's not a coincidence that you have found us online today. Jesus is looking for you. He is seeking you out, not because you're good, not because your life is so neat and tidy, not because you're so gifted or talented, not because you have so much to offer. No, he comes and he seeks you out because he loves you. Maybe you might even say, well, how could Jesus seek me out? My life is so much a disaster. My choices, my life decisions are horrible. I've made a mess of things. I've made a disaster of my life. My life is dirty and filthy and a mess. And why would he come looking for me? Do you know why? Because he loves you. And because, remember, he came to seek and save the lost. Now, if Jesus is lying in a tomb somewhere dead, the seeking and the saving ends there. But because he is alive, because of the resurrection, it means every day he finds his people. On lockdown, he's with you. at work, he's with you. At school, he's with you. He finds his people. In fact, David says it this way in the Psalms. David says, where can I go and run away from your presence? He says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. He says, if I go to the very pits of Sheol, to the very depths of hell itself, he says, you are there. Paul would say it this way. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Neither height nor depth, nothing. Nothing above the earth, on the earth, below the earth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus finds his people, and nothing can separate us. But it's because of the resurrection. So tomorrow morning, when getting the kids ready to do school at home is difficult, know that Jesus is there and he has found your family and he is with you. When you feel a bit lost tomorrow because you're not going into the office, know that Jesus is with you because he finds his people. When you're trying to share the hope and love of Jesus with your neighbors and they don't seem interested, know he is not only with you, but he is with them and he will find his people. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, he finds his servants. But secondly, we see this, church, that knowing Jesus alive not only means he finds his servants, but knowing Jesus is alive means he focuses his servants. He finds them, but he will focus them. Verses 5 through 8, he says this in verse 6. So look at verse 5. He says, Jesus calls out to them and says, friends, have you any fish? Now, they've went fishing at night, which in their culture is the way you would do it, for two reasons. One is it's super, super hot during the day, and so it would be very uncomfortable to be out on the water during the day. Also, if you know anything about fishing in the heat like that, it's hard to catch fish. So they're going to go at night where it's more comfortable to be out. It's going to be better for the fishing environment. But also, they could catch fish at night and take them to market first thing in the morning and have fresh fish. So they've went out at night. They've caught nothing. And Jesus calls out to them in verse 5. And he says, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And then Jesus says, now watch this. He's going to focus their work. He's going to bring focus. He's going to bring direction to what they're doing. Jesus says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Don't miss this. Because Jesus is alive, he can find his servants. But because Jesus is alive, he can focus his servants. In other words, he brings direction and purpose to our life. He brings meaning to our life. They weren't really catching any fish, and they're professional fishermen, most of them, and they're not being successful. And Jesus gives them specific direction and focus. And when they follow him, they are abundantly fruitful. They are abundantly prosperous. The idea is this. Not only does he come and find us, but he comes to bring focus and meaning and purpose to our life. Jeremiah says it this way. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and a hope. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, right? Acknowledge him in all our ways, right? Seek after him, acknowledge him, lift him up, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and he will direct our paths, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll bring focus to your life. And maybe this is exactly what you need to hear this morning. And it's this, that Jesus has a plan and purpose for your life. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a random act of evolution. But you are created in the image of a loving God. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And Jesus says, because he is alive, he finds us, but he focuses us. It's a difficult experience to wander aimlessly in life, to not know what our reason for being is, to not know what our purpose is. Someone once said that all religions, all science, all philosophy seeks to answer the same three questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And what happens to me when I die? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And what happens to me when I die? And science can seek to answer the first and the third, and religions can seek to answer all of them. Philosophy can dip in here and there, but don't miss this. The reality is only the truth of God's word can answer all three. And actually, we maybe can't fully get our head around how we got here, and we can live a fruitful and happy life with that. There are times where we don't fully understand what heaven's going to be like and what all that looks like, but we trust in the Lord and we're okay with that. But can I tell you, it is a difficult place to be when you get up every morning and you're not sure why you're here. When you get up and eat the same breakfast, go to the same job, and you minister to the same family, and you attend the same church, and you do all the sameness of life, and you come to a point where you think, is there more? Well, what is my purpose in life? Will it ever matter that I was here? And don't miss this. Jesus doesn't simply tell us that we were created by Him. Colossians says that all things were made by Him and through Him and for Him. Jesus doesn't simply tell us what happens to us after we die. John 14, right? He's went to prepare a place for us. He'll come and receive us to Himself. But Jesus answers question number two. And that is, He has a plan and purpose for our life. And it's to know Him and enjoy Him. God made us to enjoy Him. And full satisfaction, full joy in life is not found in how much money is in our bank account. It's not found in the size of our house or the newness of our car. But joy, real satisfaction is only found in knowing Jesus and enjoying Him. See, He made us, and therefore He knows what satisfies us. He knows us. I was trying to figure out something on our car radio a couple of months ago, and I can be quite this way. I don't want to give up until I have something sorted. And I end up sitting in the car for about an hour by myself in the drive trying to figure it out. And I knew the whole time that there was a book about 2 feet away from me that could tell me how to do it. And that book is called The Owner's Manual, and it's written by the people who built our car. But I was determined to sort it out without reading that book. And after about an hour and a half, guess what I decided to do? I decided to open the book, and I had it sorted like in 5 minutes. And the silly thing is that sometimes I do that with my life. Think about this is a bit, this Bible is a bit like an owner's manual. Like, this was written by our manufacturer. This is written by the God who built us, the God who made us. And sometimes I try to figure out life without reading the book. And the book was written by the one who made me. And therefore, He knows how I work. He knows how to fix me. He knows how to make me run properly. And He knows what will bring joy and satisfaction to my life. See, because Jesus is alive, He can find His people. But because Jesus is alive, He can focus His people. And don't miss it. When he gave them instruction and they followed His instruction, they had so much fish they could barely pull it in. When they listened and obeyed, they were abundantly satisfied. When they listened and obeyed, they were abundantly satisfied. What is Jesus asking you to do? Maybe He's asking you to do something new in a relationship with someone else. Maybe He's asking you to do something new in the way you're sharing the gospel or not sharing the gospel. Maybe He's asking you to do something new in your generosity and how you spend your time and talent and tithe. And maybe you're having a hard time listening and obeying. Can I tell you, when we listen and obey, we will be abundantly satisfied. Because Jesus is alive, He finds His people, He focuses His people. But third, we see this, that knowing Jesus is alive means He will feed His servants. Knowing Jesus is alive, He will find His servants, He will focus His servants, but He will feed His servants. Notice what happens. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. And so when they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals that were on it, and fish and some bread. It was ready to go, wasn't it? It was ready to go. And so Jesus, sorry about that. Yeah, there we go. And so Jesus had everything prepared for them. Jesus is preparing breakfast for the disciples. You have to imagine they were hungry. They had been out all night fishing, which would have been really hard work, would have been laborious work. They've got to be tired. They've got to be hungry. They're discouraged because they've caught nothing. And so Jesus prepares a meal for his people. Jesus prepares a meal. And by the way, I absolutely love, look at verse 7. Then the disciple who Jesus loved, which is John, he likes to refer to himself that way. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And I love Peter's response. He says, it's the Lord. He wraps his outer garment on, jumps into the water and takes off. Like he is so excited to see Jesus, he jumps out of the boat. And then it says this. It says, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Now, I don't know about you, but 100 yards seems pretty far to me, like to jump out of a boat and then to swim and walk for 100 yards in the water. But he's so excited, he can't contain himself. And I absolutely love that. And then when he gets to Jesus, Jesus is ready to feed his servants. Because Jesus is alive, he finds us, he focuses us, but he feeds us. He feeds us, his people. One of the ways Jesus refers to himself is as the bread of life. That Jesus is the bread of life. Remember, he is the living water and he is the bread of life. Do you remember what Jesus said in the wilderness? Remember, he was being tempted by the devil. The devil said, if you're really God, then turn these stones into bread. And Jesus had went 40 days with no food. And it's easy just to say 40 days because we've read it so much. But he went 40 days, a month and 10 days, no food. And he could instantly turn a rock to bread, right? And you remember what Jesus says. Jesus says, no, for the Bible says man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus will say to the disciples at times, listen, I've come to serve food to people, but it's not the food that you think, right? It's spiritual food. Jesus has come to feed his servants. I pray that maybe one benefit for you during this time of lockdown has been maybe you've had more time to spend at the Father's table. Maybe you've had more time to eat with Jesus, to get into his word and to hear him speak. It's so encouraging. I've just finished going through the book of Genesis in my devotional time, and it's been so sweet because it's probably about the fourth or fifth time I've went through the book of Genesis over the last couple of years. And as I was reading it this week, things were coming to me that it was as if I'd never read them before. And I would ask Christy, I'm like, Christy, has this like always been in there? Like, how did I miss this? And I love the way that the bread of life is always fresh. The bread of life is always fresh. I have the gift of picking the worst loaf of bread at the store. Always. Like, it doesn't matter. I can squeeze and fill every one of them, but the one I bring home is going to be the hardest one. And the reply from my family will always be, why did you pick that one? And I'll say, because I thought it was stale. Like, I thought it was fresh, right? Christy, my wife, has the gift of finding the fresh bread. Here's what I love about the bread of heaven. It's never stale. It's always fresh. When we come to this book and we say, Jesus, feed me, what he feeds us is fresh and living and life-giving and transforming. And he feeds his people. And remember, we saw in the Gospel of John that one of the primary purposes of the Father sending the Holy Spirit is that He is the Spirit of truth. And remember what John said. He said, and He will lead us into all truth. So when we know and love Jesus and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we come to this book, the Holy Spirit, because He wrote the book, He tells us what it means. He tells us what it means. And it gives us life. It gives us life. And so, I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken the opportunity during this lockdown to just get away and slip away and be more with the Lord, I want to encourage you to do it. And maybe I've heard many people say, hey, I'm busier now than I was before. And fair enough, that just means you need the bread all the more. It means you need the bread all the more. You can only go so long without eating until you get weak. Because Jesus is alive, He can find His people, He can focus His people, He can feed His people. But finally, we see this, church. Because Jesus is alive, He will fellowship with His people. Because Jesus is alive, He will find His servants, focus His servants, feed His servants. This might be my favorite. He will fellowship with His servants. It's just a simple sentence in verse 12, but I love it. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I love that. Jesus says, come and have breakfast. It's an invitation to dine. It's an invitation for food. There is something special about the blessing of having a meal together. There's something sweet about sharing a meal with others. I mean, the amazing generosity of those today who have prepared lunch and who are going to be delivering that. And there's just, when I heard about that, it almost moved me to tears, because there's just a sweetness about people being willing to prepare food and take it around and deliver it to others. There is a love that's communicated by sharing food with one another. And Jesus says, come and have breakfast. Come. To me, it's a bit reminiscent of Revelation. And you know, when we get to the book of Revelation and Jesus is talking about the seven churches, and He gives the picture of standing at a door and knocking. And He says, anyone, He's speaking to a church, but I believe, you know, churches are made of people. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door and invite me in for a meal, I will come in and you will eat with me and I will eat with you. And there's a very famous painting you've probably seen. In fact, the original hangs in an art gallery in Manchester. And it's a picture of Jesus standing at a door and knocking. The Bible says that Jesus desires fellowship with you and I. Desires fellowship with you and I. And there are many ways that Jesus refers to His relationship with us. And so Jesus will say that He is our brother, that He is, our king, that He is our master. There are loads of analogies, relational analogies Jesus uses. But probably the one that grips me the most is where Jesus says, I call you friend. That's amazing to me, that Jesus would choose to be my friend. There's an old saying that you don't get to pick your family, but you can choose your friends. There's something sweet about the fact that you choose to be someone's friend. And to think that the sovereign King of the universe, that Jesus would want to be my friend. And that's amazing to me, because I know me. I know my heart, and I know that I'm probably not the best guy to be friends with on most days. I know how dark and wicked my heart can be. And here is Jesus, the King of Glory, who says, Kenny, I want us to be friends. And He says, Claire, I want to be your friend. And Harriet, I want to be your friend. And, you know, Boaz, I want to be your friend. And we could just name everyone we know, right? Like, I want to be your friend. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was a friend to sinners. It's one of the things the religious people got most upset about. It's one of the things they accused Him of, that He's a friend of sinners. And Jesus chose not to always befriend the wealthy and the religious, But Jesus chose to befriend those who no one else had time for, those with leprosy, those whose lives were marred and scarred by sin. Jesus came to be a friend to sinners. And the Bible says, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for me. Why? To save us, absolutely, and that we might have fellowship with him. See, he is alive so he can find us. He is alive so he can focus us. He's alive so he can feed us. But because he is alive, he fellowships with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus loves you, and Jesus desires to have fellowship with you. Jesus wants to be your friend. And again, maybe you say, well, you know what? I've got things in my life. And listen, he knows your heart better than you do. He knew your life before your life existed, and he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to be your friend. And so maybe today there's never been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins and to change you. And today he would want to do that in you and through you. And so maybe you just need to come and say, Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me. And Jesus, take my life and change me. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. He can do it. But maybe you know you're a Christian, but you're just not as close to him as you once were. Would you come back to him today? Your friend Jesus misses you. Would you come back and spend time with him in his word? And he won't wait to condemn you. He doesn't come to condemn, but to save. Jesus is alive. So tomorrow morning, when you do work from home, tomorrow when you queue up at the grocery store, tomorrow when you do school at home, do not forget, because of the resurrection, because Jesus is alive, he has found you, he will focus you, he gives meaning to your life, he will feed you if you take the time to eat, and he desires nothing more than your fellowship. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you. And Jesus, we thank you that you are alive. That we, the old hymn says, we serve a risen Savior, and he is in the world today. And Jesus, because you have risen, because you are alive, you find us. Before we ever looked for you, you came and loved us and found us. And we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that because you are alive, you bring focus, you bring meaning, you bring purpose to our life, that we are not an accident, but you have plans and purposes for each of us, and they are good. We thank you, Jesus, that because you are alive, you feed us from your table. And because you are alive, Jesus, we can have fellowship with you, and that you call us friends. We pray that the reality of the resurrection would be at work in us and through us for your glory and for our good, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.